The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. And tonight, we are going to do our third Big Ten preview of the 2024 season as we are going to talk about the Michigan State Spartans. Now, last year was, I guess you could say, a bad year for Sparty.
It started
off bad, and it all was because the head coach was
a nut job.
Inappropriate telephone conversations. However, I will give Michigan State credit. They fought hard given the situation that they were in. Mm-hmm. And I think Michigan State, Chris, went out and got a really good coach in Jonathan Smith from Oregon State. He has turned over this roster overnight. A lot of those good players from Oregon State followed him to East Lansing. They are doing pretty good recruiting, creating a recruiting base mm-hmm. to build off of. This is not the same Michigan State team that we saw last year. This one, I think, is going to be at least slightly better, if not at least more competitive.
Yeah, I think they'll be more competitive. I think they're still maybe a year, two at most, away from being competitive in the conference. I think they're going to show a lot of effort. I think they're going to show a lot of fire, but I just don't think they got what it takes this year to get a whole lot of wins. But you know what? You've got a great new head coach going in there who I think is really going to instill a winning culture up there, who's going to fix a lot of the problems that they did have with the athletic culture at Michigan State. I've got a lot of faith in Smith. I think he's going to do a good job.
And yeah, he seems like a good fit for them.
He really does. And, I'm kind of excited to see where they go because, you know, ultimately, yes, we're Ohio State fans, Eric, and we want to see Ohio State go out and whoop the crap out of everybody. But at the same time, when the Big Ten Conference as a whole is strong, it's better for everybody.
It is, and it's if you're going to want to compete and change the narrative with the SEC, you need teams like Michigan State to be that 9-10 win team that they have traditionally been in the past. So,
yeah.
That being said, let's take a quick glance at last season and historically before turning the page and looking at 2024. Last year, Chris, they started off with a couple wins against Central Michigan. That game is interesting because one – Connor Stallions was on the sideline for the Chippewas in that game. Didn't matter. Sparty won 31-7. That was on a Friday night to open the season, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. They won against Richmond Spiders 45-14, and then they started to go on the losing streak. Six consecutive losses. Future Big Ten member Washington, Maryland, Iowa, Rutgers, their rival from Ann Arbor, and Minnesota. Six consecutive losses before a 20-17 shocker against Nebraska. Ohio State got them pretty good in their gray jerseys at that game, 38-3. They defeated Indiana, which was going to be the eventual swan song for the Hoosiers coach.
Tom Allen,
24-21. And then they got shellacked to finish off the year against Penn State, 42-0. Vegas said they were a 4.5 win team last year. I had them at 4-8. Chris, you had them at 3-9. We both won the smart money on that one, taking the under. Jonathan Smith is the new head coach coming over from Oregon State for this year. Of course, they play at East Lansing, Michigan in Spartan Stadium, which hosts 75,005 at max capacity. Spartans' all-time record is 731 wins, 487 losses, 44 ties. Their bowl record all-time is 14-16, and they have 11 conference titles, Chris. Historically speaking, looking at Michigan State, one of the better teams in the Big Ten, in all honesty.
Yeah, not a bad history at all. 11 conference titles, and you know as well as I do, they were a real thorn in the side for us during that stretch where we were beating the tar out of their big brother school, you know?
Yeah.
With Tress and Urban, they at times were a real thorn in our side. So.
Yeah, D'Antonio left Columbus, Ohio as defensive coordinator, went to East Lansing and took a lot of what he built on the defensive side under Jim Tressel and just put it there in East Lansing and became what I think, you know, you look back at Jim Tressel, I think Wisconsin was probably his biggest rival.
Yeah.
And then you look at Urban Meyer, I would say D'Antonio and Michigan State was his biggest rival.
And you know what D'Antonio did too that was so great? It's kind of the same thing that has been done at Wisconsin, whether it was Alvarez, Bielema, Crist, and now Fickell, is they get the most out of those three-star guys. The guys that, and especially D'Antonio was good at this, those guys that Ohio State passed up on.
Yeah.
He would take them up to Michigan State, and he would turn them into studs.
Yep, absolutely. They already have the hate for the team from Ann Arbor.
Which we respect.
And then, yeah, and now they have hate for the team from Columbus because we shunned them in recruiting. So, yeah, he was smart to do that. And I think Fickell just took that same blueprint and took Cincinnati all the way to a college football playoff with it. So, all right, let's dive in. Actually, let's do this, Chris. We have Travis from our sister podcast under the College Huddle, the Spartan Savants, with us. We're going to play that interview for you now, and then we will be back to give you our predictions and look at the rosters for Michigan State going into 2024. And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. And now I'm joined by our special guest, Travis, from the Spartan Savants. It's our sister podcast, part of the College Huddle, and he covers the Michigan State Spartans. And Travis, welcome to our Michigan State preview here at the OHIO podcast, and welcome to the College Huddle, by the way.
Thanks, Eric. I'm glad to be here.
So let's just jump right into it, man. This is a new chapter of Spartan football there in East Lansing. We're not going to touch anything that happened in the past because, quite frankly, that's a show all on its own, and we've done covered that multiple times here on our show. Let's talk about the new coach you have and what the general vibe is in East Lansing and among Spartan fans heading into this season.
Yeah, I would say the general vibe is, I guess we kind of dodged a bullet getting out of that contract and landing the coach that we did. Because from what I've seen, the recruiting's gone up a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. The players around the team seem to love him. It seems like really the fan base loves him. It seems like they've pretty much hit as much of a home run as they possibly could with this hire. If that's going to translate on the field, who knows? But it's pretty positive vibe going into the season right now.
And what are the main, I guess you would say, storylines going into the season?
Yeah, I would say, number one, obviously, is how is Jonathan Smith going to do in his first season? We're coming off a couple disappointing seasons, 9 wins in the last 2 years. Usually we would want 9 wins in 1 year, at least if we're talking about, what a successful season like most years. I guess it's just how well does he do in his first year? How different do those systems look? Because he's going to a different off, a little bit of different offensive scheme and much different defensive scheme. And how quickly does everybody adapt to that? As well as, I guess, does he lean on kind of the older guys and the transfers and the guys that he brought in with him, or how much do those younger freshmen and sophomores that he brought in as well fit into the rotation, and just who sees the field, and can they start winning games again? Because we kind of missed that.
Sure. So talk to me a little bit about some of those offensive and defensive schematic changes that he's made. What's going to look different and why?
Yeah, so, I mean, without actually being there and basically seeing the spring game, I would say that it definitely looks like there's more creativity on offense. Kind of with the Jay Johnson team, you're kind of getting a little dry, a little bland. I remember Winston on our podcast, I was rewatching some of our old episodes, and there was one bit of him basically yelling at Johnson to you know, do something, play in here, something like that. And he kind of seemed to lack imagination outside of the flea flickers, and it was a lot of, there wasn't a lot of verticality in the passing game. I would say a lot of run near the line of scrimmage. Part of that could have been personnel. I think some of the guys that they have now can get better separation than that. And then defensively, we've always been a 4-3 base scheme pretty much, and Joe Rossi, new defensive coordinator, likes to tweak that a little bit. It's not a true 3-4 from what I've heard. It's like it's a four-man defensive front basically, but instead of having hand in the dirt for one of the defensive ends, he's standing up, which we've dabbled with before. I mean, under D'Antonio, we did a bunch of different – there was a base 4-3. There was times where you'd line up and there'd just be a nose tackle and then there'd be 10 guys back, stuff like that.
Yeah, we – having Jim Knowles, our defensive coordinator, we've beat that storyline in the ground about having that stand-up defensive end that never happens. Like, we talk about it till we're blue in the face because he did it at Oklahoma State, and then we've never seen it. And it's more of it's because we have 2 5-star defensive ends, and why would you take one off the field, or why would you stand him up and move him when, you know, it's not his forte. But, if you guys get it, good for you. We all would like to see what it looks like. Maybe we'll have to watch Michigan State games to see that. So you've talked a little bit about a little bit of the changeover in roster. A lot of guys seem to follow Smith from Oregon State. You know, you did lose some people in the transfer portal. You do have some veterans coming back. What are some of the bigger names that have came in, and maybe some of the holes that he's tried to plug and fill?
Yeah, I think the number one name and the number one hole to try to fill was Aiden Childs, quarterback spot. He was the number two, I believe, on 24/7 Sports in terms of quarterback transfers. Was, depending on which recruiting service you look, he was a 4-star quarterback. I think Rivals had him as the number three dual threat quarterback in his class, top 15 quarterback. Somebody had him at number 7, somebody had him as low as number 13, but it's one of those top tier freshman quarterbacks. He played in 9 games for them last year at Oregon State, followed him over. You know, I've read stuff comparing Terrell Pryor at times, so that gets you excited a little bit, but at the same time, you know, like, he's still only 18. What could, you know, he's just made spot appearances, so how good can he be, really? That being said, from what I've seen of him, it really looks really good. So that hopefully there's some stability there, because we started 4 different quarterbacks last year. Believe all 4 of them are gone now. So that's that was definitely a hole.
Wow.
And then you look at the offensive line, struggled the past couple years, lost our starting to the NFL. Lost a bunch of transfers. Some of them you could argue were addition by subtraction. And then he brings in an all Pac-12 guy who was with him at Oregon State in Tanner Miller. And then you have, I believe it's all, it was FCS all from Holy Cross, and Luke Newman was a tackle there. It's rumors that he might play, or, you know, who knows where he's going to end up. Our offensive line play has been so bad that, you know, you could tell me he's All-American at any level. He could be an NAIA All-American, and I'd be like, oh, okay, he's the new captain of our offensive line. So that tells you where that's been. And so those guys will have a role for that. And then there's a couple freshmen, sophomores, younger guys that'll probably see some playing time there. And the new offensive line coach is well-regarded throughout college football. So hopefully there's some improvements there.
We were just doing our linebacker previews this past week, and you also got a transfer, looks like, at linebacker who's pretty good coming in for you guys as well, and Wayne Matthews the third. And maybe talk a little bit about him for me. And then also, Cal Halliday is still there, still on the roster, but I'm looking at our lads, and they've got him on the bench as a backup. Fill this in for me. He was like, I thought he was going to be a pro linebacker a couple years ago. What happened?
Well, that's the thing. Like last year, so that group was definitely one that I was going to bring up. Joe Rossi, the new defensive coordinator, has said that this might be the deepest linebacker coach group he's had in his coaching experience. It's that good. I've said that the rest of the defense has to step up with that. Wayne Matthews should have pretty big role. I haven't done like a deep dive on him or anything, but he looks like an athletic guy that could probably get in there. Halliday, last year, people were talking about him being like out of shape and slow and that kind of thing, and they've kind of talked about how in camp looks really good and everything. And even though, you know, people were talking about him that way last year, he still ended up as the leading tackler on the team. He's been the leading tackler for 3 seasons. Now, last year was the lowest total that he had out of all 3 of those, and you could argue his best season was a freshman. But he's still there, and he's still going to be a productive player. What that looks like in that scheme, you don't really know yet until they hit the field against Florida Atlantic. And then you still got Jordan Turner, linebacker from Wisconsin, transferred in. He was all Big Ten honorable mention 2 years ago for Wisconsin. And I believe been like top 4 on their team in tackles the past 2 years, maybe 3 years. And then you've got Jordan Hall, who as a freshman last year for Michigan State was huge, probably one of the most consistent defenders that we had the most tackles from a true freshman in a season for Michigan State since 2007. And you still have more guys that are escaping my mind right behind them. So it's like you somehow need to fit all those guys in because it's a stacked group.
Yeah.
There's also holes around the rest of the defense. The secondary has been great the past couple of years. It should be a little bit better with what they brought in there. Defensive line, nobody really knows what's going on there because they've had so many departures. But, yeah, it kind of goes back. I remember with Mel Tucker's recruiting, it definitely seemed like he was talking a lot of tight ends and linebackers all over the place. And I remember thinking, how is he going to find places on the field for all these guys? Because they're all so, made a deep room there. I don't know if it's going to – how well it's going to
– Yeah. Maybe 3-4 with all those linebackers does make sense now that you talk about it. It really does. That's where all your talent's at. All right, tough question. Here we go. Taking a look at your schedule this year, I want you to give me the absolute floor and the absolute ceiling that you're looking at as a fan.
I would say the floor, I mean, you can't be worse than last year. Like the floor is 4 or 5 wins. Hopefully we're way past that. And then the ceiling, I would say with where they're at right now, probably if they can pull off some upsets in there, I would say probably 9 wins would be a max.
Okay.
As a fan, hope to get to that 10 win mark, especially the way, you know, the way MSU was when I was a student there. But I would say 8-9. For me, the expectation is to make a bowl game at least, and then 8-9 wins based on the schedule that we play. It's a easier schedule than what we've had, but there's still some very tough games, especially in this expanded Big Ten with Oregon schedule now. So
yeah, if I'm not mistaken, you guys have us, your neighbors to the east there, and Oregon all on the schedule. So
I believe it's a 4-week period where it's Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa. So that is not a fun part of the schedule.
No, it's not. It's not.
Everything else is fine. But that, okay. Yeah. And that's to kick off conference play, basically. Like we play Maryland week 2, but then end of September, I think September 28th is Ohio State, and then that goes right into Oregon, Iowa, Michigan right there. So end of September and all pretty much all of October is going to be a tough one. I'm going to caution my fellow Spartan fans to just hang on through that one. We're not at the point where we're going to be able to cruise through that at all. Or some of those games we might not even be competitive. I hope we are. You know, we're not at that point where we're expecting to win 10 games a year, like we had been a few years.
Yeah, hold on tight on that one. All right, so there's that. Let's take a look at our next question here. So when you look at expectations, obviously you have those that tough stretch and things, but you mentioned get to a bowl game. Is that the expectation going into the season? Like, hey, even though it's year one, and even though you flipped over the roster, the expectation is make it to a bowl game.
I think so, because outside of those 4 games, I think every other game is definitely winnable. The roster already improved from what I can tell. Obviously, it's all got to play out on the field, but there's a good mix of experience and young guys. And I honestly just want to see, you know, aside from making a bowl game, I want to see them play the best players regardless of what year they are. I think a lot of the past regimes have been like, okay, senior automatically on the field. If there's a freshman that's better than a senior, and especially if it's a starter, put him on the field. I don't want to see wasted reps and wasted opportunities out there. So I would say that my expectation would be to make a bowl game, and I think that's what the minimum expectation needs to be for this program every year.
Yeah,
we're not obviously with where we've sunk to. We got to build back up to that, but I think they're well on their way. At least the way it appears right now.
Cool. All right, man. So we're gonna talk about recruiting in just a second. We're gonna do a whole nother video for that one.
Okay.
But I've got to ask you this question. You and I both have a mutual, shall we say, enemy. Can we say that?
Yeah.
We have been preaching for the entire offseason that the NCAA is not done with that program in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
Are Spartan fans saying the same thing, or do you think they're going to get away with what they've done?
We're saying the same thing. My faith in the NCAA is something.
You're like me. They don't have no teeth, man.
it's like the real punishment that would have hurt should have been handed down already.
Yep.
Anything you're going to give them right now isn't going to hurt them at all. So what's the point? Like, it's not really a punishment if they're not going to learn anything out of it. So, I mean, they've been dragging this thing along. Hopefully something comes out of it, but we've talked our show. I mean, even when the thing came out, we did some bits with Connor Stallions and everything. We were like, oh, this is the best thing that could have possibly happened during a 3 or 4 win season. So, And I mean, I have I have family members who are Michigan grads and stuff too. So it's a little bit of a delicate balance.
Yeah, I would think so. I would say so, man. Oh gosh, so sweet. Where can everybody find the Spartan Savant's podcast? And where can they follow you at?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I have my Twitter handle right here. It's Spartan Trav. Spartan Savants on the collegehuddle.com. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all those platforms that you find them on. Also, our YouTube channel, you can easily find by searching Spartan Savants. There's also a link College Huddle page to Spartan Savants. And then we have Twitter page right now. It's at Spartan Savants. Believe there's also a link to that on the College Huddle page. And
There
then
is. You got it.
I believe we're coming up with an Instagram page soon. So
beautiful, beautiful. Go check them out, everybody. Follow them. Give them a follow, and make sure you go and give them a thumbs up and things. That really does help, guys. It really does, as we try to reach out more people and everything. Thank you so much, Travis. We appreciate you coming in, previewing the Spartan season with us.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much, Travis, from the Spartan Savants for that awesome interview. We really do appreciate that. All right, Chris, we are going to jump over now to do a little screen sharing here, and we're going to jump over to what we see as far as the Our Lads website on the starting lineup or projected starting lineup and depth chart for Michigan State in 2024. All right, so right off the bat, they have Aiden Childs coming in, a transfer quarterback we need to be aware of, Nate Carter at running back, and then they have a couple other transfers, especially on the offensive line, just like Travis mentioned in his preview there, Luke Newman, Tanner Miller. This is kind of a patchwork build-back offensive line, a lot of question marks there. They bring in Jack Velling, from Oregon State, the tight end. Chris, we've talked about him. And then
High on him.
looking at the wide receivers, Jarren Glover, Foster Jr., and Brown at the wide receiver position. So that's kind of what we're looking at there offensively for Michigan State. Chris, your thoughts on Sparty offensively?
Obviously, they're going to be run heavy. I think they're going to depend a lot on Jack Velling, both in the run and passing game. Aiden Childs, I think, has the ability to be a serviceable quarterback.
Better than what they had.
One name that you haven't mentioned, and he's actually the guy who's slotted in as the second man on that X spot, and that's Antonio Gates Jr., is a kid with a lot of talent. I think that I would not be surprised to see him get some snaps this year. He's, I believe, a redshirt sophomore. Is that right? Yeah. So offensively, I think they're going to be a very ball-controlled type of offense. This is not going to be one of those wide-open offenses, I don't believe. So, you know, if you're going to go up against Michigan State, the key for them is going to be that offensive line. That offensive line holds up. I think they can be competitive in games. They can slow things down and, you know, make things difficult for some teams. I don't know that they're going to be, like I said, I don't see them being a bowl-eligible team right now, but they can make things difficult for guys.
All right, let's go take a look at the defensive side of the football for Sparty. They bring in a lot more transfers here. They have five transfers on the defensive side, Chris. Let's highlight Wayne Matthews III. He was one of the linebackers that we all talked about when we
Yeah.
did our top 10 linebacker previews in the Big Ten. Coming over from, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Old Dominion, if I remember
Yes.
correctly, had 136 tackles, something of that nature. And then I want you to look at where they have the middle linebacker, Cal Halliday,
Which just
slotted in.
blows my mind, Eric.
You know, and
He's
Travis talked about him a little bit in his preview that, you know, he's going to play. Even though he kind of got supplanted last year, he still led the team in tackles. He's just got a nose for the football. He's a little bit slower due to injuries and things, and maybe what he was as a freshman. His freshman year, he burst on the scene, and everybody thought he was a future NFL linebacker, and he's just not been able to ever reach those freshman numbers again, but yet he's still the most consistent guy on their defense. This is, as Travis said, this is a very linebacker-heavy team. They're going to probably move to a 3-4 scheme to get as many of those linebackers on the field as they possibly can, because that's the strength of this team. They're a little weak up front, and they are inexperienced in the defensive backfield, which could be a problem when you're going up against a pass-heavy team like Ohio State. Chris, your thoughts on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, this is a defense. It's got some key some good points. I think, like you said, I think their linebacker play is going to be excellent. But man, we got some big time offenses in the Big Ten, in Ohio State, Oregon, even USC,
Rutgers. Don't sleep on them.
Now here's the thing. You look at a lot of these teams that are run-heavy teams, I think they are teams that Michigan State can play with. They may not beat, but I think they can play with them because of their strength up front, specifically in those linebackers and their line. But, man, Eric, those teams have a wide-open offense. I'm a little concerned they're going to make games very, very ugly for the Spartans. So.
Yep. All right. So before we jump into their schedule and we give you our predictions, let me just say that, as you heard Travis say, this year the expectation is a bowl game, and that's really the expectation. That's like how we talk about at Ohio State, the expectation is, you know, beat the team up north, win the Big Ten, and get to the college football playoff. Like, I guess, like, if you don't do that, it's not a successful season, regardless.
That's a rough expectation for a first-year coach who's trying to rebuild a team and rebuild a culture.
But that's their expectation. And you got to give their fan base credit for the fact, Chris, that at least they have an expectation that you need to achieve. A lot of these teams in the Big Ten, we hope to make a bowl game. No, you need to have, as a fan base, the expectation you expect to make a bowl game.
And I do like that. I do like that. And like I said, this is a team that historically has been a decent team. They have competed for conference titles. And I'm sure that's where the fans want to get back to. But at the same time, I think that they just need to give this guy a year or two. Let him get some of his people in there. Let him work on getting that culture rebuilt first. Because, man, this was a team that under Mel Tucker, the culture was nothing short of toxic. And sadly, I think that's the first thing that you've got to work on. You've got to reinstill a winning culture at that university, because they are good enough to do it.
Sure.
This is a team that can get the recruits. They've got a good coach. Be patient. Let him rebuild the program. 3 years from now, this is a team that I think should be competing at a level of 8 to 10 wins. But they got to let him build it this year and next.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yes, I agree with you almost 100%. I would say the thing that I want to highlight from your statement and underline is that be patient, Spartan fans. You got the right guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Be patient with them. All right, let's take a look at their schedule and give you, and we will give you our predictions. Right off the bat, you've got some games that, quite frankly, you need to win. You need to win these football games. Number one, you've got Florida Atlantic at home. That needs to be a dub. You go on the road at Maryland. That's your first Big Ten game, and it's your first road game. It's not going to be easy. You have a better roster than Maryland does, in my opinion. You should win that game. Then you have Prairie View A&M. That's a dub. Then you go back on the road again at Boston College. Bill O'Brien's at Boston College. Bill, you know, you've got Jonathan Smith at East Lansing at Michigan State, two brand new coaches. Michigan State has a better roster. But going on the road at Boston College, not an easy task. Coin flip game. If you've won three in a row, you've built momentum. You've got the players believing in you. I think they can win that game. Then look at the next four games on their schedule. This is just mean. This is the toughest four games in the conference that anybody will play back to back to back to back out of anybody. I dare anybody to look at their schedule and say, yeah, ours is tougher than yours. There's nobody. They get Ohio State at home, at Eugene, Oregon. Then they get a bye. They get Iowa at home, and then they go over to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. Those are four L's. I'm sorry. This is where I think the Spartan fan base needs to take a deep breath and just pray that the team stays healthy and competitive in those games. Then they get Indiana. That should be a win. Then they get a bye. Then they have Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers. I think they can win at least one of those two games against Illinois, Purdue. Those are games that hopefully they can get a win. Now, if they can beat Indiana and they can get a win against Illinois or Purdue and they win those first four games, Michigan State is going bowling in the first year. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's a little bit too much of an ask in year one for Jonathan Smith to do. However, if you look at our predictions, I have them 5-7 overall, 2-7 in the conference. They just miss out on going bowling. JR has them going 8-4, 5-4 in the conference. He thinks not only are they going to win their three non-conference games, he's got them beating, I think he's got them beating Iowa, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Purdue.
JR has let out one too many woos. There's a lack of brain oxygen to the brain with that one, buddy. I love JR, man, but he's, I don't know what's going on with him right there, man. That's, I just think that's a little much, Eric. I mean, you know, obviously my prediction 4-8, I think it's a little early. I don't think the team will have gelled. I don't think they get that win at Maryland, but I do think they get that one conference win at Indiana or versus Indiana at home. I would not mind at all seeing them go out there and beat Maryland. I would love to see this team be bowl eligible this season. Not that I give a darn about anything in the state of Michigan, but, like I said, I think the more teams you have that are bowl eligible, the more teams that you have that are playing at a higher level, the better it is for the conference and the better it ultimately becomes for the Buckeyes. So I wouldn't be upset at all if my predictions are wrong.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are you going to put money down on them? Are you so confident in your prediction that you're willing to say that this is one of your guaranteed picks? Or are you like, I wouldn't put guaranteed on it?
I can't guarantee it. I think there's too many new variables to guarantee it at this point. I've got a very strong feeling that this is a 4-8 team, but I can see a path to them getting to 6 wins. Depending on, I mean, obviously, health of themselves and other teams. You know, we've said it all along, Eric. Michigan is so lacking in depth along their defense that they're one injury from being a 500 ball club. Indiana, they're another team that, you know, they're a head scratcher. You just don't know enough about them. They're a team much like this that is very transfer laden. A lot of their transfers came over from playing at a lower level. And by that, I mean just from a, you know, a less competitive conference. You look at this team here, one of their best players on defense, like you said, Wayne Matthews III, we look for a lot from him, but does playing at Old Dominion translate into playing and getting 113 tackles in the Big Ten? You know, you aren't going to run into guys like Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson or even, you know, Donovan Edwards when you're playing at Old Dominion. So I think there's a lot of variables here. So like I said, I can see a path to them getting to 6 wins. But, you know, for me, I just don't have the gut feeling that it's there. But I don't have a strong enough gut feeling that I'd put money on it.
Okay, that's fair enough. I think that's a good way to put it. And I think that that's a good way to end this preview, guys. So one more question. I got one more question. I'm actually interested in watching this team play.
I am too.
Not just because Ohio State plays them and I want to scout who we're going to play. I actually have legitimate interest in seeing where the low bar will be set for Jonathan Smith moving forward. Because I think that this is just the starting point. Mm-hmm. And if he gets 5 wins, I think there's a good chance that next year it could be 7. If he gets 4, then it's like, okay, will he be able to get 6? If he does a JR here and he shocks everybody and gets 7-8 wins, watch out. That means he did more with less than probably anybody in the conference.
Well, this year, yes, but that award is always, in my opinion, going to be with Northwestern from last year.
Well, we're talking this year.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, maybe in history, that performance last year was
amazing.
More with less.
That was simply amazing. Like, share, subscribe. It really does help the channel. If you are a Michigan State fan, welcome. We hope you enjoyed the preview. We hope you're not too mad at our honesty. This is just a Buckeyes look at your program. Let us know what you think in the comments below. We'd love to know and get your thoughts. And then by all means, go check out the Spartan Savants, our sister podcast from the College Huddle. We really do appreciate having them join us. Go over to thecollegehuddle.com, check out us, the Spartan Savants, and 71 other great podcasts from in and around this country covering college football from a fan's perspective. Chris, we got 3 down, 15 more to go.
That's a lot, man. It's going to be a busy, busy next, 7 weeks for us.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Well, 8 actually. Yeah, well, I guess once we get through this one, 7 more to go. All right, guys, thank you so much for being a part of this. Until next time, OH.
I-O.
Go Bucks.